So you had to go to the pharmacy earlier? What was that about?
No, you went to the pharmacy earlier.
Oh, yeah.
What were you, you have the COVID?
Yeah, I had to go get the COVID cure.
Right, I heard about that. You get it from drinking aquarium cleaner.
So, you see all this Cardi, Playboy Cardi stuff?
I did see that. Do you think he's actually gonna drop?
Not really. I would be surprised. It doesn't seem like it's a good time to announce tour dates. So I feel like financially it's not a good time for someone like that to drop, if you know what I'm saying. Does that make sense to you?
I don't know. I had kind of been thinking the opposite, like, because everyone just has nothing to do, that you could really get some good streaming numbers. But, like, I sort of had been wondering why not everyone is dropping right now. But no, the touring thing does make sense. But presumably won't people be just as excited to buy Cardi tickets whenever?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, he could just not.
It's like there'll be 10 new Migos songs by the time COVID's done, you know? You want them to be able to give you the money right when they hear it. That's my understanding.
That's true. But also, like, I mean, historically, like, the song of the summer kind of thing that people talk about has worked in a way.
You talk about it.
Well, you know, like, the idea that there would be, like, a song of the summer, or a few at least. I feel like they normally come out really early and then, like, sort of surprisingly become, like, the big thing that they play on Hot 97 all summer later on. For example, yeah, like, when that Rihanna album came out a few years ago that had Work on it, that came out in, like, I want to say March or February even. And then in June or July, it was the big song.
Yeah, so maybe Cardi will drop.
But do you think it's still going to be called Whole Lotta Red, like, despite no red on the album artwork?
That would be a really cool move, on par with, like, how cool the first record was. And I believe that somewhere in there, he is that cool of a guy. I don't know. I don't know if he'll do that or not. I mean, if there's no features on the album, then I'm inclined to think that he could do anything. Like, that could be a possibility, which he said was going to happen. But who knows? I bet it's going to be, like, all trippy red and, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm looking at his tweets now. Do you think the thing he does on Twitter where the tweets are annoying and unreadable, he, like, thinks of it in his head as similar to the baby talk voice or baby voice?
I don't know. Has he been doing it before he started really getting into that? I don't know.
They seem to coincide to me, but yeah, who knows?
I think he said he wasn't going to do that voice on this record, but I don't know. Who knows?
Oh, is this going to be like his proves he can rap record?
I felt like he did that on the first song on the last record, which is what made me turn it off. I don't know.
The first song on the last one is the one where he's like,
Long Time?
Yeah. Are there bars on that? I thought it was just sort of that hook where he says, like, I've been trying to feel this way for a long time. I don't remember.
I guess I just mean, like, use sentences that aren't just, like...
I see. Yeah. Like, he's talking in full sentences.
Yeah, which... I don't know, now I seem bad, but...
Well,
I feel like he got more across with what he was trying to do on the first record than any complete sentence anyone else has ever said.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that the record comes out. Do you like the...
Yeah, me too.
Do you like the photograph for the album cover, if that's what that is?
Yeah, I think so. Do you?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. It came out at the same time as a lot of people on Twitter were talking about, like, the new Dune movie with Timothée Chalamet in it. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like, but a lot of people were, like, shit-talking, like, this aesthetic in, like sci-fi movies that have come out recently, like the new Blade Runner, where they're just sort of all, like, gray and barren. So then the Cardi picture came out, and I was like, oh, I guess you could almost say the same thing about it. But I'm looking at it now. Is he wearing? He's not. He's wearing like an earring, but it looks like an AirPod. Like this could be an Apple commercial for Apple accessories, I think.
Let me look back at it. You ever look back at it?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, he's got an earring in, and then like there's shiny parts, like the cuffs of his clothes are all mad shiny, right? Like, why is the bottom of his shirt so shiny?
Right.
And the top of it. Oh, yeah. Is he wearing an undershirt?
That's what I was imagining. Yeah, like he's got like a white shirt on underneath. But yeah, it's still confusing because it's not like he's in UV light or something, which would make it, but yeah, something like that.
Is that a cement wall behind him or some kind of curtain? Is it like a canvas backdrop, do you think?
It does look like in, you know, at like photo shoots, how they'll like drape the sort of backdrop thing. Like you can almost.
Oh, it's see. It is. You can see the bottom of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Because there is a floor and then, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I guess.
Yeah, Doy. So it's just a normal photo studio. He looks great.
Yeah, it's cool. I like the blonde braids.
So he's got like a beard going on pretty hard, huh?
Oh, I guess so. I guess I had thought that was just how his chin looked, but no, you're right.
You see that picture of Timothée Chalamet looking like that, whatchamacaller?
Bob Dylan?
No. Thatcher. He looks like Margaret Thatcher, somebody posted.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds good. So you're back on Twitter now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you like being on Twitter?
Is no, that where you saw the picture? I don't. You sent, oh, the one of whatchamacaller of Timothée?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, they don't, no, really I don't like look that similar, honestly. Like, this seems like a stretch.
In this one picture, their hair looks the same.
I think I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's weird they cast him to be young Bob Dylan, too. But I guess...
Oh, and what?
They're going to make a new Bob Dylan biopic movie where Timothée is young Bob. Like, 60s era, I think.
Sometimes I imagine, like, how I would feel if I had been successful.
Yeah.
And, like, I was out there, and, like, I think that would be even worse. Don't you think? Like, having to feel like you were part of... the culture.
Yeah. Like successful for writing, you mean?
Yeah, or you know, if like I had been an early investor in that pizza app, but then like I really made it go. Do you remember that?
The one that they advertised on the train. Like it was like Yelp but or like Seamless but just for pizza.
Yeah, and I feel like you didn't even, like, choose where it was from. You were just like, pizza me. But I didn't know they train advertised. It didn't seem like it had a lot of funding to me.
Oh, I think maybe I'm thinking of something different. I feel like the one that you're describing might have been a viral marketing stunt for that company whose name I'm forgetting. They just, like, make stupid things like that.
But anyway, yeah, that's rough about another Dylan biopic. I thought that maybe I would get through my whole life. I knew there would be another one, but I was just thinking maybe I would get in an accident or something and there wouldn't be another one in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You saw that other one?
I did.
With all the people and everything?
I did. Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't understand. Well, I guess I had a couple thoughts about it. One of which, or to rewind even further... Do you like biopics in general? Is that conceptually like ever good or worthwhile?
To me, it seems neither a way to have fun or a way to learn anything. While ostensibly it is both.
Yeah. Like, I think at best you get sort of a weird, very polished version of someone's life history. Like the Johnny Cash one, I guess. Like now I know a little bit more about, and I guess like the Ray Charles one. Basically, they're always just drug addicts also. But yeah, no, I don't. And then, but so what I was going to say about the Bob Dylan one is then everyone really liked, was it Kate Blanchett who plays young Bob Dylan? Like 60s?
One of those Kates, yeah. Yeah.
And like everyone really liked it, but it just seems like not hard. Like I feel like Timothée will probably also be a fine young Bob Dylan. Like there was so much there to work with that like it, you're sort of just doing an impression, which to me doesn't seem like the point of acting.
Tell me more about what you view as the point of acting, Willis. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. don't do it. No. But on a serial note, you see that To Call Me By Your Name?
I did. I've watched
it. How did you go about seeing that?
Emily and I watched it, and we didn't torrent it, so presumably it was on a streaming service at one point.
Oh, probably Putlocker.
Well, yeah, we might have done that, like, Googled, like, yeah, but,
You seen the new Curb?
I have. I've watched all of Curb.
How have you watched those?
Well, they're on HBO Go, and I guess I still have Emily's dad's login for that one.
Because I had to watch them on Putlocker.
Oh, yeah.
And have you used Putlocker lately?
Not in a while. What do they have going on Putlocker?
So the thing about Putlocker was always like, okay, you go to Putlocker. Mm-hmm. There's like all these porn ads and like the porn video game ads and everything. And like you have to close all the windows. You know, remember? Right.
And you have to click the X a lot. Like there's an ad on top of the video.
And then if you want to like go from full screen to not full screen, you have to go through the whole thing again.
Yeah.
Remember? And all that. And even if you want to change the volume, sometimes you click the wrong thing and you get the porn ad.
You pause. They like put an ad on top of the pause button. Yeah, classic.
But outside of that, if you were just to play the movie and have everything dealt with and just watch the whole movie, historically, you were okay.
Yeah, I agree. It was like a totally workable... And
that's no longer the case.
Okay. What happens now?
So I don't know. How long are the Curb episodes? 30, 40 minutes or something?
Yeah, I think generally 40.
So about halfway through, you get like another thing, and it's so loud, and it's an ad. It's not a porn ad. It's an ad for like paying Putlocker.
Oh, okay.
It's a really loud ad.
It pops
that, like,
up.
You think it's gonna. It's like how on Hulu there would be an ad in the middle of a thing. Like the movie stops and it goes to this really loud ad where it's just like, hey, this is annoying, why don't you pay Putlocker, and then, you know, this won't happen.
Yeah, right. So the video actually gets taken over by a Putlocker ad.
Yeah,
it just seems crazy to me, like, that they can have full-time employees working on stuff like that when they're essentially based around the idea of like, well, the government will eventually shut us down, but in the meantime we'll like cash out.
Also, if you look at, I've looked at, well, I don't know how accurate this is, but I looked at the Wikipedia entry for Putlocker, and it seems that, like Silk Road, Putlocker is just like a term that different parties have used throughout time as a generic name for this thing. So, you know, it's all different, like putlocker.co.r.
Right.
So it's not clear, like, what even is Putlocker.
Totally. Yeah, there's like eight, like I used to use this one that was Argentine called Cuvana. And then, yeah, it's always like you just end the domain with a different symbol. And, but yeah, so like, I don't know, like, is there like a shared code base slash like hard drive full of content somewhere? Really unclear to me. And when you watch stuff on Putlocker, are you actually going to putlocker.com and searching for it, or you do it through...
I'll typically go to dogpile.com and search Curb Your Enthusiasm Putlocker.
Okay. Dogpile's a search engine?
Oh, it's the only search engine.
Oh, I don't even know about Dogpile. Yeah, I always try and do it on Google.
DuckDuckGo?
No, I just go...
Oh, no, you can't get anything on Google.
Yeah. You remember the
days... Google doesn't work. The only thing I use Google for is... I got this thermometer that's only in Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
So every day I have to go over and type google.com and then search like 36.5 C to F. Because Dogpile doesn't like have that built in.
So now Google has like all of your medical records based around your, you know, like your temperature.
I throw it off sometimes. I put different fake ones in.
Oh, that's smart. So you're taking your temperature every day.
Oh yeah, at least once a day. You?
No, I ordered a thermometer and then I decided that I tried to put it on my FSA card for work, and you apparently can't get one that way without a doctor. Like, you need a doctor's note to prove you need a thermometer or something. So I canceled the order just out of frustration. But no, I generally assume like I'll know if I have it and slash if I, yeah, I just assume I am always a carrier for it. So I haven't been taking my temperature.
Yeah, I hear that even it's just if it does get really bad and you do want to seek any kind of help, either just through teledoctors or if you do end up having to seek care, they're going to ask you what your temperature history is. And so it's just good
to know
that, just so that they can know, like, you know.
Yeah.
So mine's been consistently under 98.
Yeah. I wonder, too, though, like, are a lot of people just doing a thing now where they're like, very stressed out about micro fluctuations in their temperature that are just most like it's like within the inaccuracy of whatever thermometer they're using, you know?
I can only speak for myself and I would say no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm surprised you're even taking your temperature. It seems out of character, I think.
I'm trying to party, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down on my terms.
Yeah. Do you think it would be a good way to go, COVID?
No.
What do you consider good ways to go?
Speedball.
That's cocaine and heroin?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got it confused for a second with 8-ball, which is just a quantity of cocaine, right?
Yeah, it'd still be.
Yeah.
Cocaine's fun. Have you done that lately?
No, I don't like it. Well, when I did it before this all started once, but no, I don't like cocaine. I think like it's like a drug where I would happily give it up forever, but whenever it's offered to me, I'm like, well, I'm not going to pass up free coke, you know? So, yeah, but it doesn't ever do much for me.
No, it doesn't. I would say it's my least favorite drug, and I never expect anything from it. But then once I do it, I'm like, huh.
Yeah. When's the last time you did cocaine?
New Year's, we had to do it. We were over in Vancouver, and there's a lot. It's a big, they call it the, so, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Was Dan Behar a cocaine guy, or he just sings about it?
I would only know what you would know.
I guess, like, the reason I asked is, in my head, I guess I thought he had, like, an addicted phase, but maybe he just talks a lot about how, like, whatever area of Vancouver he's in, there's like needles on the ground and stuff. I may have conflated.
No, he doesn't impress me as ever having had any problems.
Gotcha. Yeah, the guy from the Mountain Goats surprisingly did have an addiction period, which to me, he seems like such a nerd that it's very surprising.
You think Craig ever really hit stuff too hard?
He seems like kind of just like an alcohol guy, right? Like sort of just like steady on the alcohol thing for consistent.
Yeah, or maybe, like, he actually doesn't even do that.
Yeah, like, based on his body language at the concert, it's very possible he's never had a beer in his life. And it's just,
yeah.
I was gonna, yeah, so you think cocaine is your least favorite drug. I was gonna bring up that I haven't drank alcohol in, like, a month now, because it's easy to not drink.
Oh, yeah, alcohol's way worse. Way worse. I don't even think of that as a drug, because it's like a food.
Gotcha, yeah.
It's more just like a poisoned food, really.
Yeah. Like, so when you stopped drinking, you started eating a ton of ice cream. And I've sort of developed a similar thing with chocolate. And I really wonder if it's just your body sort of being like, you need those calories, you know?
Well, I think sugar especially.
Right.
Because I never had any urge for sugar during all the drinking because I think alcohol is just sugar. So then, yeah, I wanted to eat a lot of sugar.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you, like, I guess, like, the reason I wanted to ask you about this is because, to me, I still feel kind of, like, wistful. Like, when this ends, I'll probably drink socially. like, I'm like, oh, I've had good times with alcohol. And like a lot of alcoholics are like, oh, I love alcohol. I just, you know, I'm not good at drinking it, or I'm too good at drinking. They say all that like AA stuff.
It's so funny. Oh man, alcohol people. Oh man.
But like, you're kind of a different type of post-drinking person. Cause do you miss it? Or like, or are you like nostalgic ever for the times you had?
No, like
drunk,
Julia
or?
Drank some, Vouv. She opened a bottle of Vouv here and had like a glass and a half herself and then just let it go bad. And like after she went to sleep, you know, like I poured a little bit or something and just like had, I just, ugh, it's gross. And you know, I would have loved to drink an okay bottle of champagne before, but it's just, you know, it's gross. You know, you get used to it and then it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, you know, going into the pool or something, you know, then once you're in there, it's fine.
Yeah.
But from just, you know, being normal, dry and room temperature, it's really a rough one.
Right.
So I'm sure that I would be able to, again, you know, enjoy it or whatever, but it would take a little bit of getting into, as it did in high school or whatever, when everybody started it.
Right.
So
right.
That's
right.
All.
Like when you're a kid and stuff and you try it and it's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would think that everyone would be like that a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
I think champagne, I feel similarly to cocaine about, as like, it's like my least favorite kind way to consume alcohol, like the headache element and stuff. It just, yeah, nothing about that appeals to me.
I'm a big champagne guy.
Interesting.
I mean, any cold white wine was good enough, but if there was bubbles in it, you know, that's,
yeah,
I would like that.
I think that that's like the other thing. Like, you know how a lot of people who quit drinking drink a lot of seltzer? I'm not drinking any seltzer right now, but I do feel like I want a different, I'm just drinking the like jars of water situation.
Yeah. So. All I drink is water. I think all those drinks are lame and I think it's cheating. I don't think you've really quit drinking if you're drinking all the freaking, what is that one they like? LaCroix?
LaCroix. No. Yeah. LaCroix.
Yeah.
If you're,
it doesn't count.
If you're, you know, civilized. Yeah.
You mute a lot of people on the Twitter? Do you ever mute people?
No, I mean, right now I'm not following anyone who I don't want to follow.
I know. But all they have to do is like something.
Oh,
and
yes.
Then you're looking at Anna's you know what I'm saying? So
I
you gotta
do know
mute
what you
everything.
Mean. Yeah.
You got like 50 mutes going on.
Well, why don't you just hit them with the block at that point?
Well, because what if they want to slide, you know?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Because to my mind, it's always really entertaining. Like, I've been blocked by a couple people where they must have, like, a bot that just goes through and blocks, like, everyone who follows Chapo Trap House or something. But, like, it's always, to me, very novel to find you've been blocked by someone who, like, you have no idea who they are, you know? So...
No, I'm still trying to get into acting, so I'm not blocking anybody.
I see.
Just mutes.
Yeah, you got an agent yet? I don't know.
Oh, I thought that was my check. My wife just held out some toothpaste, and I thought it was the $1,200 check from Trump.
Yeah.
Earlier, it's the second time that happened today. Did you get yours yet?
Well, I don't think I get one, because last year I was like above the income. So despite now having been laid off because of this, I don't get a check, I think. Or I might be able to like apply for one now, but I'd have to say that my income for this year will be under the number.
Oh, yeah.
Which
and then the other thing, are you on unemployment yet?
No, I was going to ask you about this whole process. This week I got paid still, or I like technically I'm like still on the clock today, though I'm not doing anything, but so I've like grossed above like the $500. So I have to wait till next Monday to actually like file for unemployment. Yeah. What was that process like for you? Does the check come in the mail or do they direct deposit?
So I get direct deposit. Connor gets a debit card.
Mm. Did he opt for
like
that?
They mail him a debit? No. Well, he claims he didn't. You know, he claims he asked for direct deposit. But yeah, he basically it's like food stamps or it's like, you know, it's like a something card. You know, it's like
right.
It's not. Yeah. So he gets that. But yeah, it's great. It was real easy for me. I just went on there and I got a username or whatever. And I think they make you wait a week after you first are not working.
Yeah.
Like you don't get benefits for the first week. And then, so then for my first week where I got them, I got $441.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, that's not very much, but that's okay. And then the next week, I got an extra $540 because of, Bernie, you know, everybody's right? supposed to get another. Yeah, but I hear it's actually not Bernie. It's,
I've been giving him credit for this. I've been calling it, like, the Bernie stimulus to combat
no,
the Trump
they're saying
bust,
it was one of those bad men who ran for... Michael Bennett supposedly had more to do with it.
Interesting. But, yeah, it's the thing where...
But
the,
anyway...
Or I guess, like, what Bernie did was, like, they were trying to make it so you couldn't get more money from this than you would get from your normal paycheck. And then Bernie gave that speech where he sort of was, like, making fun of people for not wanting poor people to get, you know... Like, I think it comes out to like $73,000 a year or something that you get in unemployment. That's what your income would look like.
Well, yeah, because I'm going to, if, well, yeah, I would, because I get almost $1,000 a week
right.
after taxes.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty cool.
It's really cool. It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
How long does it last?
So the one that gives you the extra $540 or whatever, I think lasts for 4 months,
okay.
And then the regular unemployment is for 6 months.
Okay. And do you have to, so do you have to prove that you're looking for a new job in order to keep getting
it? I don't feel like they can make you, I mean, there's no jobs.
Right.
What?
Right, like, yeah.
I'm a construction worker. The city's shut down, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Like, you want me to, like, leave my apartment to go to McDonald's and ask for a resume?
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll try to get the money back later, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's cool. I think, like, I felt pretty frustrated because I got furloughed even though my job has nothing to do with whether or not people are quarantined and the company has enough money to keep on paying everyone until next January. But, I mean, grand scheme of things, no, it's awesome to be able to basically, you know, focus on my art for the next 6 months.
Yeah, I've been doing that too. I've been... I made an outline of a novel that I want to work on, and I wrote the first chapter. So I'm trying to talk to agents and see if that's enough to get any kind of advance.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, but if you get the advance, they'll take away your unemployment. So you really have to just be doing nothing, I think, until the 6 months ends.
So... Yeah, that thing in the New York... What's it called? The New York Times, where they had that graphic novel thing? That was bad, right?
Yeah, it was really bad. Do you remember what it was called? I left New York with my cat and 3 bottles of hand sanitizer or something.
Yeah, I think maybe we left or something. Yeah,
right.
It was really rough.
Really rough.
A lot of people on left Twitter were giving it a hard time, you know?
I didn't see anyone really making fun of it, but yeah, I've got some thoughts about it. Like, to start, just aesthetically, totally devoid of any merit or reason to exist, particularly as a graphic. I mean, you're into comics now, so you know. But, like, it didn't look good.
No. It didn't look good.
The characters didn't...
I don't want to talk about it. It's bringing me down.
Yeah. Okay. But can we talk about...
I just
about...
wanted to mention...
Yeah. No, go for it.
That this one podcast that I listened to called Grubstakers that I think is pretty good, but one of the guys on it did that with his wife.
Are they in New York normally?
Yeah, they live in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And they like got an Airbnb like in suburban Connecticut.
Oh, that's even worse, because the premise of the cartoon was like that they left to go be with one of their mothers, which... Was kind
no,
of,
this guy's wife was just like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Right? That's how, you know.
Yeah.
And so they got an Airbnb up there and like drove up or... No, they took an Uber up there.
Wow. No,
this guy's
they
like
didn't
this
take
left
an
podcast.
Uber up there. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he justifies it. He's like, and then we tipped him $100 or something. Ugh. So I gotta get them off my... I gotta stop patronizing those people.
Oh, yeah,
man. I couldn't believe it.
That's shocking.
Yeah,
a couple people I know that I won't name specifically rented.
Oh, I'll name them. Rachel Hahn did that shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, this kid, he rented a car and drove home to Michigan to be closer to mom for this whole thing.
Disgusting.
And yeah, he told me that he you know, sanitized the car as much as possible. Because I was like, like, you left some person to deal with this car that you, like, got germs all over. And you said he wiped it down as much as possible. Which they also say in that cartoon. Yeah.
Yeah. People seem to really be accepting that germ transmission can only happen in ways that we're told it can happen.
Right.
And not in any other ways. No one seems to be at all suspecting that maybe it's actually even easier to get than we think, and that maybe it can live in different ways. Like, no, definitely only in the ways that the government have told us so far.
Right. Yeah, I haven't really done it yet, but I've been thinking it'd be cool to, like, read about historical plagues and stuff. But, like, you know, like, I think it
took them... And the rollout of information on them?
Right. Well, I think it took them, like, over a century to figure out that rats transmitted the Black Plague back in the day. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, because that's been my opinion, too. Like, they told us that we didn't need masks because they didn't want us to buy them. And then they told us,
that was
no,
cool.
You do need a mask. And like police will like, you know, pull you off a bus if you're not wearing one, but now you can't get them anywhere. Yeah. So yeah, it does seem pretty shocking. Like, so, and to that point, like the other thing that everyone's been saying is like, well, I basically self quarantined at home for 2 weeks. And the assumption is like that after 2 weeks, you can no longer be a carrier of it. Based on, again, no like, you know, months of scientific yeah. research or anything. It's just like someone made this up at a press conference and then it's been repeated and now we believe it.
That's how facts work, right?
Yeah, I guess so. So yeah, it's a
so I'm just trying to not go out really, and yeah, I'm just gonna let the unemployment run out.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to go out.
What happens if this ends and then, like, your boss tries to get you to come back to work? Would you...
Well, I mean, no, I wouldn't go back.
Oh, but I meant, like, you couldn't fuck up your unemployment. Like, I've been wondering this in terms of, like, if you're furloughed, then I feel like if they say, like, we're ready for you to come back, like, the company sort of has you by a leash, right? Because, like, they can tell unemployment or something, like, it's time to come back. So,
shit.
So, I mean, I got full, like...
I'm not going back.
Yeah, I took a severance thing, so I think I'm set on that front.
Oh, the severance is going to fuck up your unemployment.
I know. It's going to make it take, like, another 3 weeks to hit or something. Because I got... Yeah, I got, like, one last paycheck today, and then a severance, one more paycheck that'll come tomorrow or something. And then that'll be the end of income. The audio stops here because Jock's computer ran out of memory. He had torrented too many movies, but once he deleted Gummo, we were able to get back up and running, so there'll be just kind of a weird cut here, and then it'll start again.
Yeah, spring break stuff.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, I guess, like, it started because of, when all the kids went and did spring break and, like, you know, got everyone sick in Florida, but then I think, like, yeah, that was the start for me. And then, I don't know. I've just been thinking about, like, the Riff Raff character who's like, look at all my shit. So, I don't know. So then I've been thinking.
He says that in Spring Breakers?
I think he says something like that. I thought that was, like, one of the iconic lines. But I've only seen that movie once. And they mostly just say, like, Spring Break. It's my very good impression. You seen that one?
We started to watch it here and then it got turned off. I don't know. No. I don't know. I couldn't deal with it, I think.
Yeah. I don't think it's good, really. Maybe like predicted how stuff was going to be, but,
Gummo is very good.
Cool. Yeah. I'll download it. What movies you been watching?
We watched, after we watched all those, Michael Haneke movies, we watched a couple movies by this Austrian or I don't know what's that Lars von Trier guy? He's Danish or something.
I've never
looked. We didn't watch his movies. We watched like one of his friends' movies. We watched one called Festen that was pretty good, about a party for this dad's 60th birthday where the son gives a speech and he's like, and then dad raped us and stuff. So he like, you know, rakes his dad over the coals for raping the kids.
Mm, that sounds cool. I think I saw you reviewed that on Letterboxd. Oh, yeah. I looked it up. Okay. The director's name is Kirsi Limitainen. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it could be. Oh, I don't know.
I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's not it. And then I watched another movie by that guy called The Hunt about a guy, a divorced father who is the town preschool teacher. And his neighbor is his best friend. And his neighbor has a daughter who goes to the preschool. So naturally, this guy is, you know, friendly with the daughter because it's both his friend's kid and it's his student.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter likes the guy, too. The daughter is, like, 4. And what happens is... Oh, yeah. So the daughter, one day at the school, like, kisses the guy on the mouth.
Whoa. And he's the into it or teacher. Not into it?
No, he's not because he's normal.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, like, hey, you know, that's really only for your mom and dad. And you know what happens next.
Oh, I see. And then she sort of says, like, oh, yeah, they love to do that or something.
No. No, you know what happens next.
It's not like she just
reveals.
When
you reject these girls, they, you know, they tell people that.
But she's 4?
Yeah, dude, they.
Jesus.
I'm just, you know.
So anyway, then
she blabs about that he did all this stuff, which he didn't do. Uh-huh. And the whole town goes against him, and, like, they kill his dog. Wow. And, yeah, it's really heavy.
Good or bad? What's
great, wonderful movie.
Okay, cool. I've been watching a lot of Elliot Gould movies recently. Or when I say a lot, I guess I've only seen 2, but I got a couple more on deck. You ever watch much of his stuff?
He's in a movie.
He's in The Long Goodbye.
He's in one about, like, doing your own thing, like, in the 60s or 70s, right? Like, it's a big one. It's about, like, it's like about breaking away. It's like that title, but it's a different title.
California Split?
Hold on a second.
He's in MASH, 1970. I guess, like, so I said I watched a lot, but I really only watched this, The Long Goodbye, and then I just watched last night The Silent Partner, which is amazing. You ever seen that?
No, I haven't seen The Silent Partner.
It's great. It's like he's a teller at a bank, and he sort of accidentally gets roped into this, like, bank robbery conspiracy thing. But he... I guess this is something people have talked about online, but, like, it's crazy how much Anthony Bourdain just, like, took his whole vibe and made that into his personality.
Yeah, that's true.
But The Silent Partner, the director of it is this Canadian guy, and so I was looking him up, and he mostly did, like, TV movies and stuff, but then he had this one where he won the, you know, Canadian Best Movie Award or whatever. But, like, in his bio, it also says that he directed the early Bob Dylan, like, music video things where he would, like, be flipping the signs, you know, like Subterranean Homesick Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Getting Straight is the one I was thinking of from 1970. It's about, like, campus politics of the time. Pretty good. It's got Candace Bergman in it.
Bergman? Does anyone in that movie do acid?
I haven't seen it since I was a kid. I don't think I would have even recognized it when I saw it. I saw it with my parents. I was single digits, I imagine.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Actually, okay, this is great. Another thing I was going to ask you about. Like, when I tweeted about, is MASH good? You said that your dad said the movie was better. Yeah, I guess, like, it seems like your dad was a real, like, cinephile, a movie buff.
He was a hipster doofus, you know? He had a lot of time on his hands.
Like, there's something else I said I was going to watch, and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember my dad having that on VHS at the boat or something.
Well, yeah, you know, you go to flea markets and there's VHS tapes for a dollar, and then now suddenly you have The Last Detail with Jack Nicholson as a army man going back to finish unfinished business or something. You watch it on the houseboat. You have a little TV with a built-in VCR. It's moldy everywhere.
Yeah, I guess the reason I was wondering is because looking back, like, I didn't watch, like, any good movies as a kid. Like, it's like my parents never made an effort to sort of, like, educate me about the American canon or something. Like, we just sort of watched random shit. Like, I think at best, we watched, like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou when I was, like, 16.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that that was part of... the snowflakeification of, like, American parenting, where, like, you don't want to, like, show movies with gang rapes to kids as much anymore, and, like, a lot of good movies, you know, like, stuff like that. Like, right. All those things are really dark and, like, kind of shitty and, like, actually come from a bad place a lot of the times. So, I don't know, yeah. Do you think that was why?
No, I don't think so, because we did watch, like, a lot of really intense... I think it was just, like, my dad controlled the Netflix queue and just sort of, like, picked... arbitrary shit or something.
Oh, well, also, if you're going to be watching stuff in the Netflix, then... Oh, but you got the DVDs.
Right, this is back in the day where you would get DVDs.
Yeah, you can still get good movies, then.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, I regret it. I wish that my parents had made a little more effort to, like, you know, give me, like, a well-rounded education. So now in my, like, late 20s, I could be watching sort of, like, deeper cuts, and instead I'm like... I gotta watch, you know, Casino, because I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah, I just watched Casino, too. I got it on VHS. That's a great movie.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's just 3 hours long, which I guess was hard for me before.
It goes by fast.
Yeah, I got a lot of time on my hands, too.
Yeah, you'll be going to tape two in no time.
It's two tapes. It as a double. Cool.
Yeah.
For adult movies, do those still come in the, like, plastic hard shell where each tape is sort of, like, gripped by one side of the case when you open
no,
it?
No, no. It's just a double thick
gotcha.
VHS tape. Those are very cool, though.
Yeah. Yeah, like, kids get the coolest stuff.
I feel like you could get Mighty Ducks 1 and 2 that way, probably.
Definitely. Yeah.
You go, like, to see Mighty Ducks in the... No, you're young. I saw that in the theater. Oof, you ever seen Mighty Ducks?
I've seen a couple of Mighty Ducks. I've definitely seen the one where they play the Russians. And I've seen the one where they do the Flying V, but maybe they do that every movie. Yeah, I've probably seen all the Mighty Ducks movies, realistically.
You seen Air Bud?
Oh, yeah. And, like, The Big Green, which was the soccer one.
Oh, wow. No, I haven't seen that.
Sandlot?
How about Hook?
No, I don't... Is that... Captain Hook related?
Yeah, I think it's that guy who offed himself with the neck thing. What is his name? Burt?
When you say the neck
Robin
thing, do
Williams?
You mean self-asphyxiation?
No, just normal neck stuff.
Okay.
Robin Williams.
Gotcha.
I think he plays a pirate or a fairy or something.
Sure. No, I don't think I ever saw Hook. Yeah, he probably plays a pirate.
Peter Pan. It's Peter Pan... I think it's Peter Pan and pirates in the same movie. Hook.
Well, yeah, but that's like how there's always Captain Hook and Peter Pan. Just presumably
there is?
Hook. Yeah, Captain Hook. Yeah. And there's like an alligator with a clock in its chest. I don't know. Good stuff. Yeah, maybe you got to rewatch Peter Pan now.
There was a musical of Peter Pan in the 60s.
Yeah, and Peter Pan is played, or it's like written for a woman.
Yeah, Mary Martin. And there is a song in that that is good.
Can you do a couple bars?
Who am I? Yeah, it's written by Leonard Bernstein. I can't
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say no much faster than that, honestly.
Well, I almost can.
You watch many musicals? Are you into those? I saw on, like, a Twitch thing that, like, Will Menaker is learning to sing songs from Les Mis, which got me thinking, like, maybe I should watch Les Mis. But then talking to people, it sounds like all of the movie versions of it suck, so you have to watch like a stage performance. And then just the amount of effort to figure out which version of Les Mis to watch in order to then watch like a 3.5 hour musical that I wasn't sure if I would like seemed like a lot.
Who am I? Was it all planned in advance? Or was I just born by chance in July? Oh, who on earth am I? Did I ever live before as a mountain lion or as a fly? My friends only think of fun. They're all such incurable tots. Can I be the only one who thinks these mysterious thoughts? Someday I'll die. Will I ever live again as a rooster or a hen or a lion in a den or a robin or a wren or a fly? Oh, who am I?
That's pretty good. You should put that in your reel when you go out for acting parts.
Yeah, Nina Simone does a wonderful version of it.
Interesting.
She adds extra lyrics, but those lyrics are pretty good too.
Yeah, it's cool. It talks about dying. And that's
and
a
reincarnation.
Song, that's a song sung by Peter Pan.
I think so. Yeah, no, it's Wendy. Wendy asks sings it.
Right, that makes sense, because Peter Pan's whole thing is that he's forever young, so he wouldn't be worried about dying, I think.
So what do you think about A$AP Rocky? You think that he's gonna like give us what we've all been waiting for album wise or do you think he's just gonna fuck around forever? Like,
I think he's gonna fuck around forever. Like, I feel like he like kind of has hit the Jay-Z point in his career where he's gotten really good at like making money and stuff and seems totally content to just be really good at that. Like, I watched some interview he did with someone where it was just like a radio interview, but like he was talking about how like Frank Ocean put him on to the thing where he got sponsored by a car company. So now it's like his stage setup has like a Mercedes, maybe it's Mercedes Benz or something, but like, so he has like cars on stage. I don't know. He just seems to have like ascended to a level of cashing out where like making good art seems so far from top of mind, but I don't know. It could happen. He's friends with Tyler, the Creator. So maybe.
Yeah. I was watching that Who Dat Boy video the other night with them together. It's pretty.
Yeah. Cool. And then there's the one they did that's sort of like a half a song in Paris where like Tyler raps about like filling his house with Leo DeCaps and Cole Sprouses. You know that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I got to go back and listen to that one.
Yeah, it's good. I like that. Yeah, maybe. Oh, so then I was going to ask you about, have you been listening to Hot 97 at all recently?
No, I haven't really been driving.
Yeah, so I guess like when I came over and like met up with you last week or whatever, to be clear to anyone listening to this, we stayed more than 6 feet apart. In the car on my way, they're doing a thing now where they're giving away like $500 to people who've been affected by COVID.
Like, it's not a contest.
It's just like you call in and then they make you say on air like how you were affected or like how hard your life is. And then, so they're doing that like maybe every hour, but then they're also airing the clips of it as like ads for the fact that they're going to do it like constantly. Which like, I guess like obviously it's bad, like exploitative or I'm not,
yeah, it's
I just,
like a
I don't,
Black Mirror TV show or something. It's like something, right. It's like a dystopian dream girl.
Yeah. The Suffer Olympics. But yeah, I guess I don't really have a take beyond that. I don't understand what it does for them. Like, wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't people like them more if they just donated like 10 grand to an important charity or like, I don't know. The New York Times published a good op-ed yesterday or this morning even about how donating to bail relief stuff right now is really good because we can get a lot of people out of jail. And yeah, I don't know. Like, if their goal is just to engender good vibes, good positive feelings, that seems like just as effective. But I guess Is the point of those call-ins that there's a bunch of people listening so they can try to be the one who calls?
Yeah, I think that's always been the drive for there to be contests.
Mm-hmm.
People that just listen, keep listening. You know, they're always like, and we're going to be giving away these, whatever, this $500, like, in the next hour. So it's like, oh, I got to listen to it. And you know it's not going to be in the next 3 minutes. If it's in the next hour, then you got to, you know. So,
yeah, right. They put it like 47.
And then you can tell the advertisers, you know, this is how we do this and whatever. And then you get more. So, but the thing I was wondering about Hot 97 is, yeah, you know, I've been listening to it pretty steadily since 2014 when I first got a car here. And, you know, you don't really quite notice it, but then all of a sudden now there's this Miguel song, you know, and then it's just the same songs for a while. And then, like, you know, Rihanna has another song, and then, like, Nicki Minaj has a song. And then now there's two new Migos songs all of a sudden. One of them has Cardi B on it. And it's, you know, every, you know, it's hard to exactly really say how often you get a new song. But you know that before you know it, now you've got another song to contend with.
Yep.
I wonder if during COVID, what the rollout's going to be like this, and like how many songs they've got about flexing and bitches and Maybachs and stuff before, because this has to affect that, right? Like, can you still talk about that shit when you can't do anything, or?
I don't know. Like, there's something, Mira retweeted someone talking about this, but like, so Cardi B still has like really good nails in quarantine. And so people are wondering like how she keeps her nails well manicured. Like, is she quarantining with her nail stylist or whatever? But it does seem like there would be an impact on the lifestyle. I saw like an article headline that like Gucci Mane wished COVID on his haters or something. So yeah, I don't know. Hard to say, but I do feel like the music won't really change, and probably the hits have been produced that are going to keep coming out for the next 6 months, like they were already locked in or something.
Sure. I think that's, well, I don't know, because a lot of times there are kind of topical things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to say. Like, you think Future is going to be like, I get in that pussy like COVID or something?
I do think stuff like that, or like selling drugs, like that spread, your drugs are spread as fast as contagious disease. Like, there'll probably be more metaphors like that, I would imagine.
You love to see it.
You do. Yeah, a lot
of
buying
much stuff on eBay.
I thought about it. You tweeted about buying these underpants on eBay, so then I was looking at them, and now when I go to the eBay homepage, I just see the underpants. Bloopers. The brand is
bloopers.
Cool. The O's are sort of very similar to the Chanel C's. You know?
Well, yeah, that's where Chanel got it from.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank Ocean should write a song about that. Oh, really?
It's just Hanes, but they're Hanes ones that don't quite work. There's just a little thing wrong with them. You can't even find it out. It's hard. You can't even tell what it is. But they're just not quite as good as the Hanes, so they don't put the tag on it. This is Hanes. They put the blooper on it.
Wow, I didn't really look. Yeah, they. So it's bloopers or regular. Nice. You actually get those?
Yeah, that's, I mean, I would wear them. Well, I guess my dad would wear them as a kid, but he never really wore underwear. But I remember them being around the house.
Sure.
And, yeah, I guess my mom would get them for me, too. You could probably get them at Kohl's or Marshall's or something.
Yeah.
And, so, yeah, my wife's been buying them for me, and
that's
they're
cool.
Great. They don't say anything, you know. You're not advertising for any of Jeffrey Epstein's friends, and
yeah,
you get your balls in there. Yeah.
So you're doing tidy whities these days.
Yeah. Right now I'm wearing, I think, boxer briefs, but I don't really like them. They say Calvin Klein on them, and I have a feeling he's been to Little St. James. But, yeah, I like the briefs.
Yeah, I do briefs now, too. I think when I turned, like, 7 or 8, I switched from tidy whities to, like, the sort of loose boxer short.
Oh, yeah, like, that have stuff on them. I loved it when I had pictures on them and stuff.
Totally, like,
did you have that?
Yeah, for sure. smiley faces.
Dinosaurs.
There's like Joe Boxer was like a brand you could get at like Kmart or something. Yeah. I think I had ones that had like sort of Simpsons cloud print maybe at one point.
Wow.
Yeah. The other thing I've been looking at on eBay is like hard shell attaches, like a briefcase with clasps. Like sort of aspirationally, like I can't really imagine a scenario in which I'd be carrying one, but there's some pretty cool ones that say like US military on them or like CIA or whatever. And they're like, you know, $30. What about you? What are you buying on eBay?
Well, in 1990, so very early in The Simpsons, that must have been their third season or end of their second, they seem to have done a licensing thing with a denim company called Stick Shift. And I'm blowing up my whole shit by saying, well, you know, I'm
it's
sure
okay. By the time this comes out, yeah. Like, by the time I piece together the four audio files you send me, it's gonna be
I just feel like it's gonna blow up, and then... But anyway, so they're, like, jeans and, like, a denim hoodie and denim jackets that have, like, Bart patches all over them. So...
Oh, yeah, I'm like looking at it now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I have an offer in on this $45 pair of women's size 7-8 jeans. So I can get them for $40. But yeah, they're pretty crazy.
So at that point, Bart was still wearing a blue t-shirt with his blue jean shorts.
Oh yeah, it became red later, right?
I think so, yeah. But this is like beyond the point where the drawings were still really shitty. Like, I don't even know if I would count that as a season, but like when they had like the sort of like four episodes and they were really janky. You remember those?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. The Christmas one and everything. So anyway, I think I might get those. And then I've got these skateboard trucks that are like green and yellow and red that I've just had around. So I'm going to buy a skateboard that's those colors to put them on.
Oh, like Rasta.
Nah, no, it's not.
It's
I'm not
like
doing that.
That.
No, it's just normal. No.
But is it sort of set up in a Rasta pattern? Like,
no, it's just what you would do if you just liked those colors. It's totally fine.
Okay, cool.
So I'm going to get, yeah, there's a skateboard that I'm trying to get. It's that. And then I busted the mirror on this truck that I drive. So I had to buy a new mirror. I put that on. So that's
nice.
Good.
Do you feel bad about ordering stuff during this situation?
Not really, worse than like other stuff that you feel bad about. I don't know.
Right.
Should I, do you think?
I don't know. My friend Mary like is still running her Etsy store, and she said like that she's selling a lot more shit than normal because everyone's like at home shopping, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. She like kind of was like annoyed about it at first, but then she like, she always looks up everyone who buys from her. And she like figured out that some of her customers were like nurses and stuff. So if they're doing it, you know, what are you going to do?
What do you think about this fucking cheering thing they've got going on?
I hate it, but like, I don't want to be one of those people who, it seems so easy to sort of be like, oh, conformism is bad or something. But it consistently freaks me out, like, cause I live in these big co-op buildings that all face into a courtyard, and it like, I always forget. And especially now that it's light at 7 PM, it catches me off guard every time. And then everyone's just, yeah, sort of screaming like, thank you. It's not immediately clear that it's happy cheering, I think is the thing. What do you think about it?
I mean, we're sacrificing these people,
right,
possibly needlessly. Like, if they don't die from this, they will be permanently affected. They don't, like, make good money compared to, like, what you do.
Right.
And, I don't know, like, we're, aha, yes, good. Like, this isn't a happy thing. They're not happy about it.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what our recourse is.
Is it,
outside of not having gotten into this mess in the first place, but I don't think that this like celebratory tone that we take on for the first few minutes of Jeopardy is doing anything, and I think that the catharsis might actually be damaging.
Yeah, I would say in general, anything that makes you feel good about doing nothing is bad. But like, yeah, so is it's supposed to be like for all emergency workers, or like it's like anyone who's not furloughed, basically?
I don't know. I haven't read any press releases about it. My wife said it had something to do with medical people. I don't know if it has to do with
like
my
grocery
friend who
store.
Has to work at CVS or whatever, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's really helping dentists that much, but
no. No. Yeah, like especially true, like this considering the fact that like being furloughed, you would be making like a lot more money even, and like we can't seem to do anything about just making sure these people get paid, you know, $20 an hour to like be a bus driver during a it sucks. Like if everyone who was doing this at 7 p.m was instead calling their congressperson,
figuring out a way to actually get these people an extra 600 while they still go to work would be
right.
A start maybe. But
yeah, but like it's, you know, like who am I to say that when like usually I'm like playing video games when the cheering starts. So.
I just feel like playing video games is more honest, you know?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I know I'm a piece of shit. Okay, that's all we got. Thanks for tuning in to the first episode. There'll probably be another one next week, I would imagine. We do it for you. Bye-bye.
Was I just born by chance in July? Who on earth am I? My friends only think of fun. They're such curious tarts. Must I be the only one who thinks these mysterious thoughts? Someday I'll die. Will I ever live again as a mountain lion, or a rooster, or a hen, a robin, or a wren, or maybe a fly? Oh, who am I? Question all the things that you've known all your life, all the love that you've known all your life, all the things that you accept to be true. Ask yourself, who again as a mountain lion, or a rooster, or a hen, or a robin.